In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today, as we heard at the very beginning of today's gospel from Matthew, the Lord healed a man who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. And this is a horrific state. To be demon-possessed, obviously, is bad enough, but demon-possessed and blind and mute, meaning not having a sound mind, not having sound vision, and not having the ability to speak. And actually, this is natural if he's demon-possessed, because that's what the devil wants to do with each one of us, God's children. He wants to mess up our mind, he wants to get rid of our vision, and he wants to remove from us the ability to speak and to praise God. And whereas the psalm of the gospel, and as you know, the theme of the psalm is linked to the gospel, the psalm says, "You have heard my vows, you have given me heritage to those who fear your name. I will sing praise to your name forever." So the psalm is foreshadowing that the Lord is going to heal so that we will no longer be demon-possessed, blind, and mute. And as it is natural for someone who is demon-possessed to be blind and mute, it is also natural for those who have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to be having sound vision spiritually and the ability to speak spiritually. And the highest form of spiritual speaking or prayer is praising God. And of course, we thank God that we can say, not demon-possessed. We have a sound mind. We have the ability to see spiritually and the ability to speak spiritually. But before I rush to say that, thank God I'm not in that state, I keep with me a verse from Revelation chapter 3 that was written by Abuna's hand. And I'll read just quickly what the Lord Jesus said. As you know, he gave a specific message to the angels or to the bishops of the seven churches. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Lord is warning the angel of the church of Sardis, because he has a name that he is alive, but he is dead. "And I fear that I have a name that I am alive and I am dead. I fear that I have a name that I have a sound mind, whereas I have allowed my mind to be cluttered instead of be filled with holiness. Instead of having the mind of Christ, I fear that I have allowed my mind to be possessed with filth of this world. I fear that I have a name that I can see, but in reality, I am spiritually unable to see God in my life, unable to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can't see the Lord, and the Lord is the way and the light, how can I follow the Lord? I fear that I have a name that I could speak spiritual things and praise God when my mind has caused me, because of the garbage that I've put in it, that actually what's coming out of my mouth, instead of being good things, like the gospel says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but obviously also an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And there's an analogy that one of the fathers made about this verse, about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of goodness. So out of the good things of the Lord, only good things can come. And we want to be like the Lord. So the Lord, out of him comes good things in good times and in bad times. So when things are good, out of the Lord come good things. When they persecute the Lord and when they squeeze the Lord, out of the Lord comes good things. And he wants us to be the same. Not only in good times do we want to bring forth good things, but when times are tough and we're persecuted, we want to bring forth good things. Just like if you take, for example, an orange, and if you squeeze an orange, naturally what comes out of the orange? Orange juice. If you squeeze something which is bitter, what will come out? Not something that's sweet, something bitter. So if I am squeezed like the Lord was squeezed, and if I have in me good treasure, even when I'm squeezed or persecuted, then out of me will come good things like the Lord taught us. In today's gospel, if you notice, there's, and it's, if you read in, say, the New King James Gospel, it gives titles to the different sections. And it calls part of today's reading the unpardonable sin. Means the one sin which cannot be forgiven. What is this unpardonable sin? What is this one sin that cannot be forgiven? I thought Christ died on behalf of me and all my sins and all my grandparents' sins. So why is there a sin that can't be forgiven? This doesn't seem to make sense. What's the sin that can't be forgiven? Well, the one sin that can't be forgiven is if I refuse to be forgiven. Because the Lord gave me the gift of free will. I have a choice. So if I want to be forgiven, most welcome. He's shown me the path to forgiveness. But he's not going to take away my free will and force me to be forgiven. So the one sin that cannot be forgiven is me refusing to be forgiven. And as Pope Shenouda used to say, you could say it another way, the only sin without forgiveness is the sin that's without repentance. Because if I don't make an effort to repent, then that's the same as saying, I don't want to be forgiven. I don't want to leave the sin. So how can the sin be forgiven? So the only sin that can't be forgiven is if I refuse to come to be forgiven. And this was said a different way in the gospel, because the Lord didn't say it that way, but he said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, you'll be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will never be forgiven. How come, Lord? Does that mean the Holy Spirit is higher than you? So we can, if someone blasphemes against the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, and they repent, the Lord will forgive them. But if we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, how come we won't be forgiven? Because the Spirit of the Lord is what leads us to turn around and repent. So if he's trying to lead me back to repentance, but I'm resisting him, and then he keeps trying to lead me, but I grieve him, and he keeps trying to lead me, but I quench him, then I deny the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, how can I turn around? So it's actually natural, if I refuse the work of the Holy Spirit within me, that I will never be led to repentance, then I cannot be forgiven. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father are all equal in divinity. But if I refuse the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, then I cannot benefit from the Lord Jesus' act of salvation on my behalf. So all sins are forgivable by the Lord, and he's ready to forgive. But I can't deny his means of leading me back to forgiveness and then expect that my sins will be forgiven. The only sin that won't be forgiven is for me denying myself the right to be forgiven. And let's go back now to this poor, wretched man who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. And as we said, that's what the devil wants to do with each one of us. He wants, instead of the Holy Spirit possessing me, the devils want to make a dwelling within me. God forbid. And of course, that would lead me to my mind not being the mind of Christ. And that would lead to my vision not seeing God. And that would lead me unable to utter goodness, and would only, when I'm squeezed or even when I'm not squeezed, out of my mouth would come the garbage that's in my mind, and only foul odor would proceed. And this seems like a very scary situation to be in. But thank God, now in the New Testament, the devil does not have any authority on any one of us who are God's children. The devil cannot approach any one of us because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the devil cannot approach the temple of God. But then how come sometimes or often I fall? I can't put the blame on God the Father, His Son, or the Holy Spirit. He's worked the perfect plan for me, and He has fulfilled His promise, put the Holy Spirit within me. We are each walking temples of the Holy Spirit. But in order for the Holy Spirit to be effective in my life, I have to work and submit myself to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be active if you want to work with the Holy Spirit. If you deny the Holy Spirit and resist and quench, then the Holy Spirit will not be happy and will not force you. But the Holy Spirit is ready to work in each of us when we submit and repent and return. Again, we say Satan has no authority on God's children. So how do we fall? Why do we fall? Why are we not having perfect 2020 spiritual vision? Why are we not praising God? By the way, I visited some churches in the last week, and they're a lot smaller than our church here. And it's, in a way, a bit embarrassing because you see the whole people, the whole congregation are praying in the church, are praising the church. They're not worried or embarrassed. What if I don't know the hymn or the tune? Everyone is praising God in a loud voice, not belching out loud, louder than each other, but they're in unity praying to the Lord. How come I'm not praising the Lord? How come I don't see Christ in my life and in the lives of those around me? How come I'm in the temple of the Holy Spirit? Am I not the temple of the Holy Spirit? I don't see those things because I sometimes blind myself. I sometimes zip my own mouth from praising by doing what? The devil can't approach me, but sometimes, for various reasons, I run to the devil. God has given the authority of the devil nothing over any one of us. But sometimes we run to the devil. And if I willingly go to the devil, then he'll welcome me with open arms or with open claws. But if instead I turn around and run to the Lord, run back to the Lord, then the Holy Spirit that's within me will activate again, will replenish, will renew. And if I work with the Holy Spirit and use the power of the Holy Spirit that has been freely given to each one of us, then my mind will be, we can dare to say, aligned, or the mind of Christ. My sight, and I don't care about my physical sight that will only benefit me here, but my spiritual vision will be perfect. My tongue will be loosed so that out of the goodness of the heart, the tongue will praise the Lord. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Sophia Theopros Homen, Keria Lyson, Keria Lyson, Ken Omith me.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Amantoprator, who created the earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of life, true God of true God, begotten, not created, and of us, the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. And of a virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and third day he rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. Ascended into the heavens, he sits at the right hand of his Father, and he is coming again in his glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life giver, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son, is worshipped and glorified. Who spoke by the prophets, and in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we confess one baptism for the remission of sins.
We Lord for the